Morning all. The open meeting of the Federal Election Commission for the 1st of December 2022 will come to order. We have a few late submitted documents. Madam Vice Chair.
Good morning. I move that the Commission consider draft advisory opinion 2022-24 Allen Blue and Reg 2013-01 Technological Modernization Supplemental Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, and that the Commission determine pursuant to 11 CFR section 2.7 D1 that business so requires and no earlier public announcement was possible. I further move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order that the Commission may consider the late submission of agenda documents number 22-52B, 22-53B, and 22-55A.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion is carried unanimously. We're off to a good start. The first matter on the agenda is Reg 2011. I did not misstate that. It is Reg 2011-02, draft final rule and explanation and justification for internet communications disclaimers. Ms. Walshreker, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, commissioners. Agenda documents 22-52-A and 22-52-B are two alternative drafts of an explanation and justification and final rules concerning disclaimers on internet public communications. Both drafts clarify how the disclaimer requirements apply to certain types of internet communications and allow certain internet communications to provide disclaimers through alternative technological means. Both drafts also amend the definition of public communication, though the language of the amended definition varies slightly between the two drafts. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Council. Colleagues, any questions to the Office of General Counsel? Any discussion? There are any motions? Oh, Commissioner Cooksey, please.
Ms. Newman for discussion, maybe before.
No, absolutely.
I appreciate the opportunity to have a floor to talk about this, and I want to thank you, the chairman, and the other commissioners who worked on this rulemaking, and I especially want to thank the policy division staff who have worked a lot of long hours, late nights, weekends, not only working with the commissioners' offices who are pushing this regulation forward, but also answering a barrage of questions from some of the internal critics, including myself. So I really do appreciate all the staff work that's gone into this and led up to this meeting. I'm happy to say that I'm ready to support the revised draft, which is draft B on the agenda today. I opposed the initial rule that was put out by the commission because I believe it would have dramatically expanded some of this agency's regulation over political speech online. But as Ms. Waldstreicher noted, some subsequent revisions to the rule have limited it more to traditional paid advertising on the internet. Which I think is more within our bailiwick and more what we should be focused on. So with that, this revised regulation will not unduly burden freedom of speech. And I think it also complies with the important procedural safeguards of the Administrative Procedure Act. I've long been a advocate and defender for our internet exemption, a robust internet exemption. I think as the commission said in 2002 rulemaking setting up the internet exemption, the internet is by definition a bastion of free political speech where any individual has access to almost limitless political expression with minimal cost. I think that's even truer today than it was in 2002. And I think that's why that exemption and a robust light touch regulatory approach to the internet and a robust forum for free speech is so important. So I look forward to voting in favor of draft B today. And again, thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to make some comments.
Of course, Commissioner. Others like to make comments? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would yield to you or Commissioner Broussard if you wanted to go first because this is kind of your baby.
I'm old school. I like to let the work myself.
Well, as the chairman alluded, this has been a long time in coming. When the rule was first proposed, or the idea of the rule was first proposed, didn't get a lot of attention. I think we got about 6 comments the first time we put it out for comment. but it's been through an NPR, an ANPRM, an NPRM. We requested comments three times. In 2017 alone, we received almost 150,000 comments, more than 98% of which supported updating or strengthening the disclaimer rules. And it has benefited, this process has benefited along the way from the input of a lot of people. As Commissioner Cooksey said, our policy division worked very hard on this. I want to particularly commend Nevin Stefanovic, Bob Knopp, Joanna Wallstriker, and Tim Buckley, who are the current team, but you know, there have been previous generations of people in OGC who have worked on this. Jessica Selenkoff, Amy Rothstein, and I'm sure many others. I want to give a special shout out to Esther Jury, who was from the policy division and is now on Commissioner Broussard's staff. She is an excellent lawyer and also a terrific wordsmith. And most of all, I think the fact that we are here today is due to the efforts of Commissioner Broussard and Joe Dickerson. They have been serving on our Reg Committee for the past 2 years, and they have really been dedicated to reinvigorating the Reg process. And I know from the outside, a lot of people were like, oh, where'd those documents come from that suddenly landed on the agenda? And the way they landed on the agenda was a lot of hard work, a lot of commitment from a lot of people behind the scenes, but nobody more than my colleague, Commissioner Broussard, and the chair. So all those people, I think, deserve to be acknowledged. There are two drafts in front of us. A little bit of a surprise to me that we ended up with two drafts. I thought we were heading towards one draft, and I thought that draft was going to be draft A, which is the draft that I support. I think that draft A does a better job of recognizing the unique features of the internet and of advertising on the internet. When people buy ads in print newspapers or on television programs, they're paying to get access to the audience that is already going there to see the other things that are going on on those media. You know, people pay a lot of money for Super Bowl ads because they know a lot of people are going to be watching the football game. And there's really no way to promote a particular ad on a television show or in a newspaper. But the internet is quite different. People don't go to the internet and flip through it in the same way that you flip through a newspaper or flip through channels on your television, because it's too vast for that. People do searches and things pop up in those searches. And uniquely on the internet, people can pay to promote content that somebody else places. Now, I believe the existing definition of public communication encompasses communications that advertisers pay to place widely on social media sites, no matter who originated that content. But I know there's some debate about that, and people are going to take other positions on that. And so I think it is important that the notion of payments to promote advertising other people's content on the internet be explicitly included in the definition. And that is one of the key distinctions between draft A and draft B. And I think it's my understanding that the way this is going to go is we're going to have votes on particular text. And if draft A fails and draft B passes, there's then going to be, we're then going to put out for comment a perhaps revised definition of public communication for this very same rulemaking. And I have concerns about that process, where we would be adopting a definition today and then saying, but we are immediately going to consider revising that definition in about a month. I'm a big fan of public comment. I don't believe that the APA requires further public comment on this rulemaking. I think everything that is in both of these drafts was foreshadowed in the earlier NPRMs. But I'm a fan of public comment, and if people wanted to do that, I would be in favor of that. But I do think we ought to adopt the rule in toto with the definition that we anticipate sticking. So that's why I support draft A, and at the appropriate time, I will make a motion. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner. Further discussion? Further motions? Mr. Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As predicted, I move approval of agenda document number 22-52-A.
Thank you, Commissioner. Discussion of the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
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 Motion fails with 2 in favor, Commissioner Broussard and Commissioner Weintraub, and 4 opposed, the Vice Chair, Commissioner Traynor, Commissioner Cooksey, and myself. Further motions? Commissioner Cooksey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With respect to Regulation 2011-02, Draft Final Rule and Explanation and Justification for Internet Communication Disclaimers, I move approval of Agenda Document Number 22-52-B, which is Draft B.
Thank you, sir. Discussion of the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I'm going to abstain, Mr. Chairman.
Motion passes with 5 in favor. The Vice Chair, Commissioner Broussard, Commissioner Traynor, Commissioner Cooksey, and myself, and with Commissioner Weintraub abstaining. Thank you all very much. And I'm not going to overly belabor it, but I share Commissioner Weintraub's thanks to the staff. And I think Commissioner Broussard deserves a very public statement of recognition for her work on this. So it's been a pleasure working with you, Commissioner. The next matter on our agenda, as was highlighted, is a supplemental notice of proposed rulemaking, actually not in the former regulation, in Regulation 2013, also not a misstatement, 2013-01, technological moderation. Council, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, commissioners. Agenda document 22-52-A contains a draft supplemental notice of proposed rulemaking. The supplemental notice seeks comment on whether the commission's definition of public communication should also include internet communications that are promoted for a fee on another person's website, digital device, application, or advertising platform, and whether the newly adopted definition of internet public communications should include public communications promoted for a fee on another person's website, digital device, application, or advertising platform. The comment period will run for 30 days following publication of the notification in the Federal Register. If the draft is approved, those parts of the draft which identify the definition of internet public communication as a proposal to be considered by the commission should be changed to reflect that the commission has adopted that definition. And so we request that any motion to approve the draft authorize the General Counsel's office to make those changes. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Councillor. Colleagues, discussion?
Very brief comment, which is I agree with what Commissioner Weintraub said, which is that I look forward to public comments. I think public comments are good and an important part of the process. And as I think is true with all of our NPRMs, I strongly encourage people to participate and submit comments. I would like to see them from the public generally and from the bar and from other interested organizations. So when we put it up for public comment, we mean it.
I'll go further. A former Democratic member of this commission recently noted that there's some indication the Federal Election Commission was awakening from its long slumber. And I think you're seeing that today. We started this year by finally recognizing the existence of super PACs on Form 1, the smallest of small victories, but take what you can get. You know, we've since had unanimous or very lopsided bipartisan votes to update our regulations to account for binding court decisions. Again, the narrowest possible definition of public stewardship, I think, requires that, but I'm glad that we're doing it. And today, for the first time in many years, and I say that as one of the original commenters on the 2011 initiation of the internet disclaimer regulation, you're seeing substantive work on our regulations. This book is horrifically out of date. It is actively misleading in portions. It is confusing in others. It is a work in progress, and that work has been delayed for too long. So let me just echo Commissioner Cooksey and Commissioner Weintraub. These are sincere requests for comment, and they're a sincere request for comment because we do intend to move in the regulatory space. So please participate. Any further discussion? Are there any motions? Mr. Cooksey, thank you. Happy to do it, Mr. Chairman. With respect to Regulation 2013-01, Technological Modernization, Supplemental Notice for Proposed, Supplemental Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, I move approval of Agenda Document Number 22-55-A. Thank you, Commissioner. Discussion of the motion? Commissioner Broussard?
No, preparing to vote.
Yes, Council, I think you had a request.
Oh. Would you please give us the authority to make those changes that I discussed earlier?
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Cooks,
if I could amend my motion to also add to authorize the Office of General Counsel to make appropriate edits and changes as discussed at the table.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion is carried unanimously. Next matter on our agenda is a different regulation. This is Regulation 2021, getting better, -01, Draft Notice of Proposed Rulemaking for Candidate Salaries. Council, please take us away.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, commissioners. Agenda documents 2253A and 2253B are two alternative drafts of a Notice of Proposed Rulemaking on Candidate Salaries. Both drafts propose amendments to the regulations regarding the use of campaign funds by a candidate's principal campaign committee to pay compensation to the candidate. The drafts differ from each other in only a few respects. For example, Agenda Document 2253B clarifies when dependent care costs would fall under the alternative proposed definitions of compensation and provides that the proposed $15 minimum wage compensation cap would be adjusted for inflation. Other differences are described in the cover memo to Agenda Document 2253B. I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you, Council. Colleagues? Commissioner? Oh, Commissioner Broussard, of course.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
They keep moving my screens around.
I hesitate to speak because I think there's some internet connection, but I'll ask everyone difficulties to bear with me. And if it does get a little bit hazy, I've asked the vice chair to step in to make the motion on my behalf. But I do want to say that this is a document that I'm going to be very pleased to support for the notice of proposed rulemaking this morning. It's an important initial step towards revising our regulations, that book that you just held up that needs lots of changes, and I agree with you on. And it opens up the possibility for a more diverse group of Americans to run for public office, something that I think feel strongly about, and I'm sure my colleagues agree with as well. We first considered this in April of 2021 when I was the chair, when we put out for public comment a petition for rulemaking from Nabila Islam. And Ms. Islam submitted her petition following her experience as a candidate for U.S. House of Representatives in 2020. The petition and the comments received have emphasized, how financial considerations, not just the ability to run a competitive race, but the ability to pay for basic expenses such as healthcare and childcare, impact individuals' decisions to run for public office. A statistic cited in both the petition and in the comments that we received is that working class jobs defined as manual labor, service industry, and clerical jobs make up over 50% of the United States economy, yet only 2% of the members of Congress have working class backgrounds. And this notice of proposed rulemaking presents an opportunity for the public to share their experiences and that hopefully that the commission can take into consideration on revising any regulations. So at the appropriate time, I will be more than happy to make a motion to approve this document. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. I look forward to that motion. Any other comments? Mr. Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with absolutely everything that my colleague just said. And I want to add my thanks to Ms. Islam, who started this ball rolling for us. It's going to sound a little bit redundant from the last discussion, but we are really hoping for robust comments on this. There are many, many options laid out in this NPRM, different ways that we could go about it. So I think we will be particularly aided by the comments on this and from people's, and I hope that we will get comments not just from lawyers, but from people with real world experience trying to run for office, for example, or people who may have considered running for office and felt that they were just not able to do so. This is really, I think, exciting opportunity to use the campaign finance system, which often becomes a vehicle for the very wealthy to try and influence who gets elected and what gets enacted. This is a way to leverage the campaign finance system in a way that will allow more people, more diverse people with more diverse sets of experiences to consider running for office and to to add to deliberations in Congress and contribute to the laws that we make in this country. I think this follows in a line of advisory opinions that the commission has issued in recent years, allowing for childcare expenses to be paid for while candidates are campaigning. And I see this of a piece with that, another way to make running for office more accessible for more people. So I am looking forward to the comments. I'm looking forward to the motion and we'll be happy to support it.
Further discussion, comments? Let me just add a bipartisan note to the request for comments. I'll say just anecdotally, I'm not worried about this one. It's been my experience that there's very significant public interest on this point. And so I anticipate that we'll get a large number of, I hope, high quality and comments that we can actually use to fashion some sort of regulatory approach. Commissioner Broussard.
Thank you. At this time, I'll make a motion. I move approval of agenda document number 22-53-B, regulation 2021-01 draft notice of proposed rulemaking on candidate salaries revised. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Discussion of the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion is carried unanimously.
Mr. Ray?
No. I apologize. It did not.
No.
Still getting used to having people in the room with me. Commissioner Cooksey, thank you. The motion passes with 5 in favor. The Vice Chair, Commissioner Broussard, Commissioner Traynor, Commissioner Weintraub, and myself, and with 1 opposed, with my apologies, sir, Commissioner Cooksey. The next and final matter on our agenda this morning is Draft Advisory Opinion 2022-24. It's an advisory opinion heavy year. We have Mr. Reese and is it Ms. Hunsbach from the Alliance Blogger. Welcome.
Well, good morning. Thank you for having us.
No.
Somewhat lower than I thought it would be, but thank you anyway.
They're more comfortable seats. Mr. Don?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, commissioners. Before you are 2 draft advisory opinions responding to a request from Alan Blue. The requester asks whether an irrevocable trust that he proposes to establish during his lifetime may contribute to federal candidates and political committees. The requester also asks how contributions from the trust should be attributed and whether the indexed contribution limits in effect at the time the contributions are made by the trust would apply. Both drafts conclude that the trust may make contributions to federal candidates and political committees because the trust would be a person under the Federal Election Campaign Act and is not a prohibited source. Both drafts also conclude that the index contribution limits in effect at the time that the trust makes contributions would apply. The drafts differ on how contributions from the trust should be attributed. Under draft A, contributions from the trust would be attributed to both the trust and Mr. Blue. Under draft B, attribution would be based on the level of discretion exercised by the trustees in selecting recipients. Contributions made based on objective criteria set by the trust instrument would be attributed to both the trust and Mr. Blue. Contributions made based on more subjective criteria would be attributed only to the trust. We received one comment on the request and three comments on the drafts. Thank you, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Counselor. Colleagues, any questions for the Office of General Counsel or for Requesters Counsel? Mr. Cooksey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Knopp and Policy Division for the presentation. My question for the Requesters Council is, I read your written comments that you submitted on the drafts, and I found them very helpful. We also have received a number of outside group comments, and I would be interested in, they were submitted after your written comments, and so I'd be interested if you had a chance to read those and what, if any, reaction or response you have to those.
Sure, and thank you for the question. I think it's the right one because it's the only thing that distinguishes the two drafts. The draft B does something very clever, and honestly, I wish we had thought of it, which is it distinguishes between earmarked and non-earmarked contributions. The advisory opinion request was really an attempt to combine 1996-3, the old, now I'm going to mispronounce it, trust opinion, with the more modern FEC commission precedent on earmarking. I mean, the draft B actually treats those differently, sort of drags the trust precedent back to the rest of the earmarking precedent, of which there's a lot. The comments are essentially complaining about the way the Federal Election Campaign Act works. The FECA is really not about identifying the source of funds. It's about identifying who makes the decision about who to give. And that's the way it all works. This is really treated no differently than any other earmarking regime. And I am concerned that if the commenters get their way and draft is adopted, it will run contrary to not just the statute and the regulation. You know, 110.6 is pretty clear about the definition of earmarking, but also there's a series of FEC precedents. There's a series of civil and criminal enforcement actions that turn on the definition of earmarking, which are really distinguishing between, you know, when someone is identified as making the decision about who to give or not. And so if draft A is adopted, I think it will run contrary to all those precedents and really create a source of funds regime when the Federal Election Campaign Act, the last 40 years, has been built on really a decision-making regime of reporting instead. I would also note finally that, I mean, it's not dark money. Draft B actually separates out who is identified depending on who's making the decision. So if it's Mr. Blue making the decision, he will be identified. If it's the trust and not Mr. Blue, the trust will be identified, but that source is still identified. The public can still see who else that trust is giving to, what other actions that trust has taken. And so the public record will still be accurate as to whether, you know, how people should judge people who accept those contributions. And that really does conform to both the spirit and the letter of the Federal Election Campaign Act.
Okay. Thank you. That's very helpful. And I think that's correct. One of my concerns, and I guess I'd be interested in your reaction to this, is that attribution to Mr. Blue for contributions which he actually wasn't directly involved in, you know, didn't give specific designations or earmarking for, would actually be affirmatively misleading to the public and would give them the misimpression that he had a degree of influence or involvement in that decision that he didn't. And so I'd be interested in whether you, which draft you think actually is advances the public's interest in sort of knowing who was actually involved in the decision making, and which one gives the public more accurate information about who's contributing to campaigns or political committees.
Sure, absolutely. You know, our original request was just to have the trust be the attributed source. Draft B, as I said, actually separates out and tries to identify when Mr. Blue should be identified and when he hasn't. And it's not just a matter of accurate record keeping for the public. It's also a matter of making sure that distinction conforms with now the wide set of precedent of the commission is adopted on that subject. So I think draft B correctly tells the public when the decision was Mr. Blue's and when it was the trustee's, and that distinction matters. You know, I think a situation where the public would think Mr. Blue's making decisions when he didn't, and by the way, at a point when he may be deceased, no longer able to correct the public record on that, would be very misleading to the public. I think draft A really is going to mislead the public, and again, also is going to run contrary to everything else the commission has done to try and define precisely when contributions are earmarked and when they're not.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Council. Kelly?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hi. Welcome, Mr. Reese. It's always nice to see you, but I have to disagree with you.
You're not surprised, I'm sure. I think this does have the potential to become a dark money vehicle. I mean, we've seen some trusts in the past where the trustee's name was like right, the donor's name was on the name of the trust. And then it was pretty clear, even if you only disclosed the name of the trust, that Mr. Vadim, who gave the money to the Vadim Trust, was the original source of the money. But there's no requirement. I mean, I'm not a trust lawyer, but I don't believe there's any requirement that the original donor's name needs to be in the name of the trust. So one could easily envision a circumstance where somebody sets up a trust and calls it the ABC Trust, and puts a friend in charge as the trustee and says they have a nice long conversation. You know the kind of guys that I like. You know the kind of people that I would want to support. Go forth and support the people that you know that I like. And then what the public sees is just ABC Trust makes the donation, and there's no indication at all of where the money came from, which I actually think is important. So I will be supporting draft A, which I think actually does give greater transparency to the public.
Commissioner, treat that as a question.
Go ahead. Commissioner, it's great to see you again. I believe you are the one who sent me to my first commission meeting as a summer associate. So it's great to see you. I don't think I'm going to change your mind, but I will try. I think your question begs the question about who the actual contributor is. So the complaint about dark money is that the actual contributor is not being disclosed, right? And that's a fair complaint. Here, I think though, the actual contributor is being disclosed. There may be a genuine disagreement about who the actual contributor is. Here, I think draft B, as I said, does something that our request did not ask it to do, but I think it's smart, which is identifies Mr. Blue as the original contributor only when he in fact is making a decision, and identifies the trust when the trustee is making a decision. You could argue, well, whenever someone gives money and their wishes are being carried out, they should be identified as the original contributor. But that's actually not a complaint about this advisory opinion request. That's a complaint about 110.6 and the wider commission precedent around the definition of earmarking. So I guess I would posit that your complaint is really directed in the wrong place, and that if you want to broaden the definition of earmarking, Godspeed, but this isn't the place to do it.
Wasn't actually a question, but thank you for the comment.
Well, I asked the question. Any further discussion, questions, or otherwise? Madam Vice Chair.
I'm going to be supporting draft B, but I do just want to say, for the record, that as we wrap up this year and we wrap up all of these advisory opinions, I think just today is showing how great these discussions have been. We've had a lot of advisory opinions this year. Many of them were done before I joined, but I think the regulated community appreciates, going into these nuanced questions, those that are critical as campaigns evolve and change. And I hope we're going to, with apologies to the policy department and our staffs who have to go through all of these, I hope we're going to continue through these advisory opinions because they're quite helpful. They bring discussions, they make us think about the different regulations and what needs to change.
I can go further. This is a comment. And say that, the fact that we're actually able to answer many of the questions, I hope it's having an effect in terms of the regulated community's willingness to ask us questions. Further discussion? Mr. Weintraub.
I assume I'm being recognized for a motion.
Well, let's hold for a second. Is there any other desire for questions? Please.
Thank you. With respect to draft advisory opinion request 2022-24 from Mr. Blue, I move approval of agenda document 22-54-A, otherwise known as draft A.
Thank you, Commissioner. Colleagues, discussion of the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion fails with two in favor, Commissioner Weintraub and Commissioner Broussard, and four opposed, myself, Commissioner Traynor, the Vice Chair, and Commissioner Cooksey. For the motions, Commissioner Cooksey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With respect to draft advisory opinion 2022-24, Alan Blue, I move approval of agenda document number 22-54-B, which is draft B.
Thank you, Commissioner. Colleagues, discussion of the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion passes with 4 in favor, the Vice Chair, Commissioner Traynor, Commissioner Cooksey, and myself, and 2 opposed, Commissioner Broussard and Commissioner Weintraub. Thank you, Council. Thank you, Mr. Knopf and everyone in policy. The Vice Chair is very correct. We have kept you very busy. Thank you. That exhausts our discussion this morning, at least in open session.
Mr. Chairman?
Oh, I apologize. A point of personal privilege from Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you very much. I had forecasted, Chair, that I was going to ask for a moment at the end to acknowledge the passing of an era in campaign finance reporting, not reporting that people do to us, but people that the reporting that goes on about us. Ken Doyle has left the building. For those who follow campaign finance closely, Ken Doyle is a legendary figure in journalism. He started a weekly print newsletter called DNA Money and Politics in 1997 and has been reporting about the work of this commission and related issues about money and politics and lobbying regulation and ethics since 1997. And just very recently, I regret that I did not catch this quickly enough. He modestly left without really telling anybody, but he has retired from Bloomberg, where he was most recently working, writing about us. There were years when Ken's newsletter was the source. Everybody who was interested in this topic read Ken's newsletter and in order to find out what this agency was doing. He provided transparency for us, on us and about us. And every meeting he would be sitting at the press table. If we had a meeting and he wasn't there yet, people would look around and say, well, can we start without Ken? Can the FEC actually have a meeting without Ken? I guess we're gonna have to find out. He is a really kind and soft-spoken man. He's a very fair-minded reporter. Like I said, he was the source. Before the days when people could tune into our webcasts, he was the source of information on this agency. And I know that I will miss his genial presence in the back of the room at our open meetings. So Godspeed, Ken. I hope that you're listening out there. He's not in the room today, but I think he might be listening in. We all wish you well in your further adventures.
Thank you, Commissioner Weintraub. I'll put a little coda on that as a personal message. So I was not as intimately connected with this agency until recent years, but I was litigating in this area, and it was, you talk about whether or not the FEC could start a hearing without, you know, Ken being present. And I remember there was one person who was always waiting in the courtroom when I had an appellate argument. No one else would pay attention. There might be a little blurb somewhere in Politico, but Ken Doyle always sat through the whole thing. Always talked to me afterwards, and it was, it is a passing of an era to see that sort of hands-on, in-person, shoe leather approach to a very complicated and technical matter. And I personally appreciated that when I was a young lawyer with somewhat more hair, and I appreciated it here at the commission, and I also wish you well. Very good. Colleagues, Mr. Staff Director, are there any management or administrative matters requiring our attention this morning?
Mr. Chairman, there are no such matters.
Thank you very much. We are adjourned.
Stand by.